Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. It's always a pleasure. And those of you who just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, well, that makes you a very smart person. And I know you're going to feel a lot smarter as we get into our next interview, our next visit with an old friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. Andrew Sherman is an attorney with the law firm of Dickstein, Shapiro, Morin, and Ashinsky. He's also a partner of that group. He is one of the smartest guys I know on business development, business growth. He's written something like 20 books on these topics, including the Bible on franchising and licensing, because it's called Franchising and Licensing. And his books have sold something under a billion copies. The new book is called Raising Capital. That's the second edition, which I'm a very happy owner of. And he's our good friend. Andrew, welcome back to the show.
Great to be here, Jim, as always.
It's good to have you back. And also, folks, he's working really hard on a program called Grow Fast, Grow Right, and we're going to talk about some of those things for a little bit today. Andrew, you've been this GFGR project you've been working on. We'll tell the audience a little bit more about it in a little bit. But as you've traveled around, what are some of the things that your attendees are telling you that's a big deal? What's been sort of a common denominator for your attendees in terms of how to grow their businesses?
Well, it's a great question. As you know, we launched Grow Fast, Grow Right about 2 years ago, and it's a education and training company for leaders of rapid growth and middle market companies. And we get a lot of feedback in our programs from business owners around the country, business owners that have companies ranging anywhere from as little as 3 or 4 million in sales all the way up to 50 and plus million in sales. There's very good cross-sections of different types of industries, from high-tech to low-tech. And I'd say that most of the growth challenges or growth opportunities that they face fall into one of three categories: money, people, and stuff. And that's, of course, a gross oversimplification, but, you know,
is there anything else other than time?
There's always time, but it's usually some type of a financial or capital constraint, some type of a human capital hiring and retention restraint, or some type of an opportunity to better leverage their intellectual capital that they're either not seeing or not harvesting or not properly protecting. And while there's other types of growth challenges, usually they fall into one of the three.
Yeah, well, can we talk about those three a little bit?
Sure.
Give us a little bit of an idea about some specifics about those three: money, people, and stuff. Talk about the money first.
Well, money is, as we've talked about before and as we've discussed in the Raising Capital Second Edition book, money is the fuel that allows a company to continue to grow. Without money, you're a race car driver sitting in a very expensive piece of machinery with no fuel to get around the track.
Right,
and that's the way many entrepreneurs feel when they hit that wall. Hopefully their car doesn't explode with them in it. But where that money comes from, what's the cost of capital, what are the current venture capital and private equity trends, should they go to the debt market and look to banks or leasing companies, should they go to the equity market looking to angels or private placements or venture capitalists or even corporate strategic investors, those are the kinds of decisions that many of these executives face. And they need some guidance as to what are the advantages and disadvantages.
You named off six or seven. There may be a combination of three of those, or four of those.
Those are not necessarily mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
And so that's another good point from a debt to equity capital ratio. What guidance can we give them in the seminars? So they leave there feeling like they've got a slightly clearer idea of what their capital formation strategy ought to be.
capital formation, capital allocation is a big deal for growth companies, isn't it? I mean, we see this, Andrew, and I know you have too, in small companies they've got some cash, and instead of financing their fixtures in their store like they should over, say, 3 years, you know, they write a check for it. Well, that's not a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things, and I know you talk about this a lot, is people think smaller companies, smaller mistakes. But actually, with smaller companies, you've got less room for margin for error.
That's exactly right.
With less margin for error, if you make a wrong mistake on capitalizing the company, it can have a lot more severe impact on the company than if some Fortune 1000 company makes a couple of mistakes and their earnings are off by a penny and their stock goes down 10 cents and some...
Exactly right. Hang on,
analyst.
We've got to take a quick break. We're going to be right back with our good friend Andrew Sherman. We've got more growth information to talk to you about right after these messages. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Andrew Sherman. Andrew, the new book is called, it's actually the second edition of Raising Capital. It's just out, isn't it?
Yeah, just recently out, doing really well. It's particularly timely because we're in a pretty strong set of capital markets here in terms of the ability to raise growth capital. So all the more reason to have a good, you know, field book and guide in your hand when you're out there in the markets.
Absolutely. Now, the Grow Fast, Grow Right website, where people can go and find out more about where your next events are and to get a little bit more information about that, what's that one?
It's how you said it. It's growfastgrowright.com.
All right. Just spell all that out. And what will they find when they get there?
Well, we've got information on upcoming events. We've got information on our dream team, which you're one of, and we're proud to have you on there.
You.
We have a lot of content that you can see, radio and television, interviews that I've done, articles that we've written. The site is pretty rich in content, but designed to inform a prospective attendee about an upcoming event and hopefully get them to register.
The next one's Baltimore in a couple of weeks.
Next one's Baltimore on April 5th. We've got nearly 100 people registered for that event, CEOs and leaders of growing companies. Very excited about some of our partners for that event, which include companies like Legacy and Administaff, phenomenal supporters of small business nationwide. So it should be a phenomenal event. We've got the Lieutenant Governor of Maryland speaking, the president of the Chamber of Commerce. It's going to be
Mike Steele, the Lieutenant Governor of Maryland. He's been on this show before. He's a great guy. Let me ask you. I want to talk in a minute. We're going to tell you about it, folks. We're going to talk about another angle of GFGR that Andrew's working on. That's going to be in Memphis in May. But before we go there, Andrew, let's talk about some other growth strategies. We talked about the money, how to allocate the resources. What about the people side of the concerns that you see with your attendees?
Yeah, the human capital issues fall into three or four categories. And, you know, we could probably devote a whole show on this, which we'll do in the near future. So I just want to touch on them. But it is a good segue into our special conference on diversity, because that's very much a people issue. The human capital issues break down into co-founder issues, or what I call managing the business marriage. You know, what happens when multiple co-founders of a company their marriage starts deteriorating? What impact does it have on the company? So how do you keep healthy co-founder relationships?
It happens all the time. How do you set up a business so that one day you don't wind up being the partner with an in-law, with an ex?
Absolutely. Years ago, we did a show together around a book I wrote called Parting Company, and the entire theme of the book, which Kiplinger published, was about this issue of business marriages. And then, of course, the hot topic, which is how to hire the right people, get the right people in the right job, steps that you can take to better retain and motivate and recruit. Those are continuing issues for companies. Issues regarding compensation, stock options, how to properly reward people, issues regarding governance in a post-Sarbanes-Oxley world and how to set up your board properly, issues regarding boards of advisors and how to set those up properly. So those are some of the hot human capital issues that come up in the seminars.
Right, and these are classic issues that people have to deal with. And what's your best advice when they bring you an issue with what would be the number one human being issue that you think you hear?
I would say there's definitely an issue regarding getting the right people in the right jobs. We've been working with, and they just came on actually as a sponsor of the event, a company called Profiles International that helps do employee evaluations and assessment tools. I mean, just finding good people, keeping them, motivating them.
Isn't that the single biggest challenge that you hear over and over again from people is I can find people, but I can't find the right people.
It is. And really, what's so ironic, what's so frustrating for small business owners is that the issue gets worse in a good economy. Because in a good economy, these people have more choices. So small business owners typically root for a good economy because it'll facilitate the growth of their business, but that makes the job market that much more competitive.
Well, what do you tell them to do?
Well, to really spend a little bit more time in the interviewing process, to get creative regarding recruiting, to look at people and invest in training. Maybe the person actually is the right person in the right job, but only after they get better training and support. And that training doesn't have to be with online training and other tools. Doesn't have to be terribly expensive. I mean, to really spend more time, most CEOs talk about this as a problem, but they don't spend any real time in their company working on it.
Is it also possible that as they've grown, haven't had good perspective on how much they're actually going to have to pay to get the right person for the next level of growth?
That's right. The other thing that you see in some small companies is there is no vice president of human resources. They haven't made the investment in a good person that's going to manage all of this. And for some growing companies, if they don't have a good HR senior person, it may be time to hire one.
Right. No, there's no question about it. And it's not just HR. You know, they've got to make a decision. You know, is it time to hire a VP of sales? We've got a sales manager, but is it time to hire a VP of sales? And is that person the right person? You know, is it time to get a full-time CFO? Is it time to get a full-time chief information officer? When is it time to do all of that? And those are the hard decisions. And as you're growing your business, you got to make those folks. And you can't be wimpy about those decisions. Quick break. We're going to be right back with Andrew. Andrew, stand by. We're going to take a quick one. 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Feeling like I ought to sleep. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance, and subscribe to my free newsletter, which comes on Sunday by email. It'll get you ready for the week ahead. And don't forget my blog. You can check it out, and I'm so happy the way you guys are using our website. We're going to have a record month. The blog is having a record month. The subscribers is a record month to the newsletter. It's just a great time. I think small business owners are excited about the future. Andrew Sherman. Andrew Sherman, folks, is our guest, and as you know, this half hour, and he's one of our best friends, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the founder, and the guy who leads this fairly new movement called Grow Fast, Grow Right. It's an organization that I really encourage you to know more about. If you put a .com on the end of Grow Fast, Grow Right, you can find out more about them. Andrew, we were talking about people. Folks, Andrew said the three big deals are capital, people, and stuff. We're going to save the stuff for another day.
That's
but
right.
I want to continue on people, Andrew. And how much is diversity getting? Is that an issue in the marketplace these days?
Well, it's a huge issue, Jim. And one of the things that we've been trying to do as a company is not just deliver our usual standalone programs, which we've been doing all over the country. We've got programs coming up in Baltimore, Toronto, Vancouver. Just did one in Raleigh and Tampa. but to really take some special growth topics and develop an entire conference around them. And we're very, very proud, very excited about an event we've got coming up on May 3rd in Memphis, hosted at the FedEx Institute of Technology. Inc. Magazine's our media partner. We've got just a tremendous list of strategic partners. And this is an event that looks at the role and importance of diversity as a business growth driver. And, you know, it, in many ways...
You're saying diversity is not something that we should look at as an obligation, but it's something that we should look at as business opportunity?
Absolutely. Yesterday I had a long conversation with Dr. Benjamin Hooks, who's going to be our closing speaker. Of course, Dr. Hooks, the longtime executive director of the NAACP. And we talked about how diversity has really reached a second evolution. You know, in the old days, 25 years ago, it was a social policy. It was part of the civil rights movement. It led to things like affirmative action. But today, diversity is smart business. Today, diversity is the way to understand diversity in your leadership, diversity in your employment, is a way to make sure that your company understands the diverse customer base that it serves, that your company understands the types of contracting opportunities and partnering opportunities. The goal here is to understand that if you don't take diversity seriously, if you don't embrace it as a business strategy, you as a small company run the risk of being left behind.
It's not just diversity in the hiring activity, but also diversity in your market strategy, your growth strategy.
We all know that the
growth of the Hispanic consumer in the marketplace, the Hispanic influence, in not only as a consumer but in business. We all know that women are growing as significantly in the marketplace in terms of business owners and especially those companies who want to do B2B business. They want to do business with other businesses.
Absolutely.
This is all part of the diversity profile, isn't it?
Yes, and, you know, to that point, I mean, we have the U.S. Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. We have the National Society of Hispanic MBAs. We have the Women's Business Enterprise National Council and NABO.
By the way, you mentioned the U.S. Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Michael Barrera, I just talked to him yesterday. He's a good friend of ours as well. My audience knows who he is.
Oh, good. Well, they're a strategic partner on the event. The NABO, National Association of Women Business Owners.
Right.
We've got just a phenomenal list. The National Black MBA Association, the U.S. Pan-Asian American Chamber of Commerce.
And these are all folks. The thing is what I wanted Andrew to do, which he has done, is to open your eyes as to who your prospects are out there. Not only your prospective employees, but your prospective customers, to make sure you understand this rainbow of opportunity that's out there in the marketplace. Andrew, we got to wrap it up. Will you give us the website one more time, please?
Yeah, it's www.growfastgrowright.com.
And still time to sign up for a Baltimore event in 2 weeks, right?
That's right. And if you go to growfastgrowright.com/diversity, there's a whole separate web page just on the event coming up May 3rd.
Andrew, thank you for being here. Good job today, and I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Fantastic.
Andrew Sherman, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. And I will be too, but it'll be on the other side of the hour, other side of the news. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Whatever you do, don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.